BS Free Witchcraft is a production of the Nerd and Tie Podcast Network. Nerd and Tie produces podcasts ranging from actual play to true crime, and you can find more at nerdandtie.com or join our Discord by going to nerdandtie.com/discord. Welcome to BS Free Witchcraft, your monthly guide to the modern witchcraft movement. Mine's a lot of the usual, well, bullshit. I'm your host, Trey Dorn. It is March of 2024. I almost said the wrong month there. This is like the fifth take on the intro, guys. We're having a morning, day, afternoon, whatever time it is. I don't know when I'm recording this. Where am I? No. I'm Trey Dorn. It's March of 2024. And this month we are talking about a topic that we've danced around before. We've hinted at it. We've talked about it. It has always been like part of another topic. Like, we were talking about something else, and this came up. We talk about it in the Don't Be Racist episode. We talk about it in the Lilith episode. I mentioned it on a really early one, and for those who haven't guessed, what we're talking about is cultural appropriation. Cultural appropriation. Because I feel like, even though, like, it has come up, and we've danced around it, and we've worked on it, we've defined it, we haven't really, like, sat down with just this. Like, there is no single episode. If someone wants to talk about, like, cultural appropriation in the modern witchcraft movement, there's not a single episode. Go listen to that one to start with. So, with that in mind, and knowing that every episode of the show could be someone's first episode with the show, I thought we would take the time to discuss cultural appropriation on its own. And really focus in, because it is a problem in the modern witchcraft movement. It is everywhere. But there's often some misunderstandings around it about what is and isn't cultural appropriation. And there's a lot of, some people like to ignore the nuance involved. So with that in mind, that's what we're gonna tackle. That's what we're gonna tackle this time around. Before we get started, I do want to do a quick little bit of housekeeping, plugging right here at the beginning, and then just remind people that my new novel, The Witch and the Rose, is available on Kindle. It's available on Amazon in paperback form. It is available from other booksellers, and I'll put the ISBN up on screen here-ish. And you can go pick that up. It's inexpensive. It's a fun book. It is queer contemporary fantasy. It is, it's fun. Also, unrelated to that, some of you may remember that I used to do a comic called Unconventional, a webcomic, and that the last 2 years of that comic were not in print. The first 8 years were all in print, years 9 and 10 were not. Even though year 10 ended in December of 2019. Well, it's here! It's in print. The last 2 years, a combined volume to just get the rest of it out here. There's commentary, there's nice color printing versions of my terrible artwork. It is fun. It's a comic about people who run a convention. So this is now available in Dead Tree form. Obviously, the website's still up there for people who want to read it online, but also all the typos are fixed in this version. besides Unconventional, for those of you who remember Unconventional, I do have a new comic coming out starting in a couple of weeks, actually, in mid-April, Peregrine Lake, which is actually the follow-up to Unconventional, but it's a new comic. It's just there are a couple of characters who carry over from it. That is debuting in mid-April at peregrine-lake.com. This time around the bend, Ethan Flanagan is going to be doing the art. I'm just writing it, but Ethan Flanagan's amazing artwork is just... they're just killing it on this, and I love it so much. It's a Northwoods gothic is kind of the thing, and this is a web comic. It's going to start out real slow. We're only doing one comic a week, so this is kind of a soft launch in April where it's going to go live. It's going online, but we're not going to start kind of pushing it to people until like maybe a month or two in, when there's some more comics up on the site. So Peregrine Lake is coming out, and that's exciting. So I wanted to talk about like the happy stuff, like the, hey, look at my stuff here, before we get into like, you know, the actual serious topic that we're talking about. So let's do that. So cultural appropriation. Let's start out, let's get a baseline definition. The easy dictionary definition, although I did not get this out of a dictionary, the easy definition of this, like the one liner, is when a member of a dominant group takes from a minority, culture, or closed group. That's it. So, if I, a white person in America, which is a colonial power, take from a closed group or a minority and start to take from their culture when that group has specifically asked that people not do that, especially, but even sometimes when they haven't asked, and we take it without permission and take it to ourselves, that's appropriation, right? Now, this does not mean that every instance of someone adopting something from another culture is appropriation. There is a dictionary definition where it says it is, but when we talk about cultural appropriation, capital C, capital A, we're really talking about the version with power structures in place, right? And we don't want, I don't want to confuse that. That is very important because there's a big difference between cultural appropriation and assimilation. Assimilation is when a minority, a person, a member of a minority group, takes on aspects of the dominant groups in a culture's, like, takes on their stuff because society rewards them and encourages them to do that. That's assimilation, right? Where you become like the dominant group, that's assimilation. When the dominant group takes from the minority group, that's appropriation, right? The power dynamic between the two is super important to remember and understand. That is... that is super important. And also the concept of open and closed is also very important. Like, if there are things in this world that are open that encourage people to take it from, like, it's the Christian church is very, very much in their proselytization, very pro-proselytization, right? They encourage you to adopt their stuff. So it's not appropriation when one does, because they're asking you to, literally. So that is also different. Even in situations where Christians are the minority, they're often doing that specifically. So it's about power. It is about open and closed. And it is, you know, there's a thing stuck in my microphone. It is about power. It is about being open and closed. These are all factors. So let's try to give you some clear examples, right? Start with dream catchers, right? Dream catchers are a very specific thing from specific Native American nations, very specific peoples, and it is a ritual object. But white people have taken, oh, look at the thing that looks like a dream catcher. They've done that, and they'll start printing it on t-shirts, and you buy little tiny ones from Urban Outfitters that were made without the religious intent and meaning, and spiritual meaning of the original object, without the cultural identity of the object. And they take it and they mass produce it and they sell it primarily to a white audience. That is cultural appropriation. It is. A lot of people don't think about it or even notice that it's happening because it's so ubiquitous in our culture that it happens, but it is. Because that is a very specific thing to a very specific tribe, set of tribes, and you are just taking it from them. And especially, like, when it comes to Native American stuff, it gets really important because we outlawed a lot of the practice of Native American rituals and spirituality and beliefs and religion. And in America, we did. And we punished them for practicing it. So when we then take those things that we used to punish them for, and we, as the dominant group, as the dominant class, effectively, of people in a country, take from that group, that we oppressed them for it and took it for ourselves. That's appropriation. And if you don't understand why that is bad, I question your ability to empathize with other human beings. Like, that is that's a fundamental thing. We also see this with, besides minority groups who have been, we see this with ethno-religions, right? We see this with Judaism is a ethno-religion. There is an initiation process. If you want to become Jewish, you can. You can go to a rabbi and they'll say no to you three times. You know, it's like you can convert. But if you have not converted, their stuff is closed to you. And the place where some of y'all fuck around is where you take things, especially from Judaism, that like really like surface level things and reinterpret them. Like, let's take a look at Lilith. Oh, wait, we did a whole episode on that. Lilith is really interesting. Lilith is really interesting because she's a piece of Jewish folklore. And really, the full story doesn't really happen until around the 10th century in the alphabet of Ensura, where the full figure of Lilith, where we combine like the demon stuff with the first wife of Adam and all that kind of like, that's where it comes into like one person. But like Lilith is effectively a demon, and like Lilith as Adam's first wife, that is exclusively Jewish folklore. But non-Jewish New Age goddess movement people decided to create a whole fucking new goddess and call her Lilith and then tell everyone she's ancient. It's a 20th century invention. I just want to be really clear. It's a 20th century invention. And it is incredibly disrespectful. So, Don't do it. If you want to know more about the Lilith stuff, go back and listen to the Lilith episode. I think it's like episode 43. Like, go listen to that. I'm going to direct you to other episodes in this part of the episode, because we talk about that at length, about the actual origins of Lilith and proving that stuff with citations and everything. I've stared at the Bernier leaf too much in my life. It's a Varesh Kegel. Shut up. But my point is that, like, again, we see this a lot with there's a lot of that with early modern occultism. It's Thelema and Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn stuff. We see a lot of things taking the trappings of Judaism and trying to take and build authenticity, taking things from Judaism. And if you look at that time period, we're talking like a time period especially where, I mean, anti-Semitism is huge now, but 19th century Europe wasn't a great place either for Jewish people. So it's like they tried to wear Judaism as a costume to make their non-Jewish occultism seem more genuine and legitimate. That's cultural appropriation. I did, like, in the Don't Be Racist episode, we talk about it with white people with locks, because it's, Norse pagans have kind of a problem with this. Like, it happens across all of, I don't want to, like, single them out, but they, like, for some reason they're doing, like, the really visible stuff that you can't, like, a lot of witches, if they do something culturally appropriative, they could be doing it behind a closed door and no one would ever know. But Norse pagans, for some reason, the heathens, like, when they do it, it tends to be stuff you... just looking at you as a person, we can tell you're doing it. Like, white people with locks. And we talk about this in the Don't Be Racist episode, but it's a black hairstyle that you have to, like, torture this, like, my white person hair to make it even do it. Because, again, mats are not locks. They're different things. And we have punished black people who for having traditionally black hairstyles, and then for white people to go and adopt it as fashion. That's bad. And also, like, it has no historicity within the Scandinavian people. In fact, they famously combed their hair. Again, I talk about that a lot more back in that episode of the Don't Be Racist episode. Go listen to that. But also a problem in the heathen community in certain parts. Obviously, I'm not talking about it as a whole. Like, I'm talking about, like, people who are doing cultural appropriation who are a part of that community, right? They will do face tattoos in the style of, like, Inuit people and other, like, other indigenous peoples that they have no claim to, and aren't the things done by the indigenous people of the areas of the religion that they're claiming to be a revival of or a reconstruction of. It just can't stop themselves. Like, I can see your face. I can see your hair. I see what you're doing. I can see you with my eyes. Stop. So when I, like, these are cultural appropriation, right? These are all pretty clear instances. And again, if you're listening to this or watching this and you're saying to me, that, like, if you're getting defensive, if I've said something that you've done or you are doing, we're going to talk about that later, but maybe, if you got face tattoos, I'm so sorry if you didn't know. It's not a Norse thing. It's not actually, like, TV and movies lied to you. I'm so sorry you got face tattoos. You shouldn't have. Just, oh God. Can't cover that up. Don't get face tattoos. Just pro tip. Okay, so while all of those have, like, very clear, defined, like, hey, this is cultural appropriation, this is that thing, we also have to look at nuance, right? Because not every time that someone does something that is from a culture they're not originally a part of, is it cultural appropriation. Now, we talked, I mentioned assimilation earlier, I think. Hopefully that was this take. I've tried to record this episode about 5 times today. There are also situations where a group, again, welcome people in. Heathenism is a great example. I mean, I just talked about heathens doing cultural appropriation, but heathenism, is an open religion, right? It is open to people of all cultures. And so when a member, if a person who is not of, Scandinavian or Northern European or even Germanic descent decides to, devote themselves to heathenism, like, to make that choice religiously, spiritually, they are welcomed into the non-shitty parts of the community, right? Those gods, that faith, none of that is closed. Inevitably, though, we will see racist people get real mad when anyone who doesn't have this kind of complexion becomes a open public heathen. I've known several black heathens who have gotten, like, oh, you're culturally appropriating. But these people would never go yell at an Italian heathen, right? Like, and also, like, so, yeah, it's nonsense. It's bullshit. But that is open. But people try to weaponize that term, right? They try to, try to weaponize the idea of cultural appropriation. And also sometimes people are just wrong, right? It's, I had someone come into my Tumblr inbox and ask me, is using incense cultural appropriation? Incense. You know, that thing that, has its origin in 3 continents? Africa, Europe, and Asia, all of them. I've seen ancient Egypt. See it in Hindu stuff. We see it in the like Japan, we see in China, we see incense in Roman Catholicism. Like, the reason why incense is really popular in Western esotericism is partially because of the Catholic Church's use of it. And I know that the Catholic Church is kind of a shitty organization overall, historically. So I don't really want to necessarily like, but the Catholics did it too. But, like, it is ubiquitous. It has been a part of all of these cultures. It has been part of many cultures for many different reasons. Like, there might be a ceremony or ritual involving incense that is closed, and doing that particular ritual or ceremony might be considered cultural appropriation, but the material itself, outside of that specific context, using it is not cultural appropriation. Then we get into questions like, so smudging. White people smudging is cultural appropriation, right? It's a very specific ceremony from certain nations. Now, obviously, we all agree, right, that a white person can't smudge. Now, the particular tradition actually done within a lot of like white people came out of the New Age trend is actually different from the actual thing that those native groups do. So we can smoke cleanse, right? Smoke cleansing, it's fine. But white sage. Incense, we said, can't like incense open to everybody, right? Incense is open, the ritual might not be. Can a plant be closed? And I don't know the answer to that question. It's hard, right? Because it is just a plant. Now, I'm going to say, no matter where you come down on the conversation about whether or not white sage as a plant can be closed, I'm going to say the following. Whether it is or not, as a white person, you shouldn't be using it. Because white sage has been over-harvested. So Native Americans who need it for their specific rituals, who need that specific plant for it, can't get a hold of it. A white person can smoke cleanse with many different things. There are other herbs that are compatible to the concept of smoke cleansing. And you have those options ahead of you. But because the over-harvesting of white sage has made it unavailable to people who need that specific thing, it is, in my opinion, unethical as a white person to use it. Not because it's necessarily cultural appropriation, but because we are in a place of societal power where our over-harvesting commercialization of this has deprived people who would actually require it for their own spiritual and religious ceremonies, who are the traditional like people from this land. So I don't know if it's cultural appropriation. There's people have argued that it is. People have argued that a plant can't be. And where I come down on it is that I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know the answer to whether or not you should use it or not is no, right? So, like, but that's where we get into the nuance of the question, right? Because there are people who argue that it is closed. But if you, like, grew your own, why wouldn't that be okay? It is just a plant. It would be wrong to use it in that other person's ceremony. I don't know. I don't have a good answer. I do know, again, you shouldn't use it. It's over-harvested. Like, don't be a dick. That's where I come down on that topic. But I don't know if you actually can, like, I don't know. I don't know the answer. But the key is we have to look at the nuance on these things. Like, we talk about it like, and we talk about like, again, people will disingenuously say things. I talked about like heathenism, but we'll also see like bad examples like, oh yeah, but the Americans all appropriating Irish culture with St. Paddy's Day, which is not true. So if you want to know why St. Patrick's Day is huge in America, it just happens. So it's on my mind. The reason why it's huge in the United States is because of the Irish diaspora. There is a huge amount of Irish immigration to the United States. There are, in fact, more people in the United States of Irish ethnicity than there are in Ireland. this does not give us claim to, this does not give Americans claim to the actual, like, Ireland, but people do have a familial, like, connection to their ethnicity and traditions that were carried on by their family after they came here. Those Irish immigrants celebrated St. Patrick's Day, right? They celebrated St. Paddy's Day. They invited their neighbors to join them. They asked their neighbors to join them. The Irish identity became a huge part in these communities, so the celebrations got bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's why St. Patrick's Day became huge. The people who started saying everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day weren't the non-Irish, but the Irish immigrants themselves. And let's not forget, St. Patrick was a Catholic saint, and the Catholics like to sell. The Christians like to sell in general. The Catholics are another set of Christians. The original set of Christians? I don't know. I mean, I do know, but I'm being dismissive in my language and trying to go quickly because I'm literally running out of time to record. So, if you want to know why sometimes the episodes are short, it's because sometimes my recording windows are short. Like, what's important is that you look into things. Like, it's, people will say, if someone tells you X thing is closed, first off, I mean, if they're a member of the group saying it, then yeah, probably, but listen, but you should always research and look into these things. Like, the person talking about, like, asked about incense, like, I'm sorry, it's, there were Tumblr posts going around, have been going around for, like, over a decade about talking about, like, tarot being somehow closed. And if you listen to Hex Positive's episode on tarot, you would know why that's not really true. But people said it, and they said it with conviction, and so people believed it. So we have to be critical and analytical on how we look at things. We have to look for nuance. We can't just, like, we can't black and white think our way through this. We have to be considerate of that stuff. Now, finally, what do you do when you find out you've been culturally appropriating? First off, this is a community-wide problem. A lot of people like, oh, the Wiccans are culturally appropriating. I'm like, no, y'all are, everybody. Like, this is no more prevalent with Wiccans than it is with the general witchcraft movement. It is everybody in the movement who has to look for it. I've seen people who literally would accuse Wiccans of cultural appropriation and then go talk about their smudging technique. Like, this is not just one group. This is everybody. So you find out you're doing something some cultural appropriating. What do? You look at it. You understand. It's, don't take it as a moral accusation of your, like, yourself. Take it as a, this is a thing I was doing, right? It's, first off, the person telling you is probably mad, and they have a right to be mad. But you gotta not take it as a reflection of your value or self, but take it as a, these are the actions I was taking. What can I do to correct these actions? What can I do to change these actions, right? And that's really the most important thing at the end of the day. That you need to, don't, because people be defensive because it's like, oh, they told me I did this bad thing. It must mean I'm a bad person. I can't be a bad person, so this must not be a bad thing. That's not how this works. Good people can do bad things with good intentions. So your responsibility is to go, I've done a thing. Regardless of, because the person who's telling you might be really mad, and rightfully so. They are under no obligation to coddle your feelings. You have to, as the person being told this, analyze what they're saying, listen to what they're saying, and look at your behaviors. Don't take it as a personal judgment of value of self or that. Take it as a judgment of your actions. A good person who does bad things, when informed that they're doing a bad thing, will listen and adapt and change. They will take different actions going forward. That is the difference between a good person and a bad person. The bad person is the person who hears it, ignores it, says fuck off, and does not take the effort to look internally in those moments. That's it. That's what I had to say on this topic. Holy crap. All right, I just want to remind you that this show is brought to you by my Patreon patrons at patreon.com/TREGORN. I do want to give a shout out to people at the shout out level of Lindsay Dosey, Bruce Norville, Courtney, Claire Dennis, Caleb Bukowski, Simon Gerringer, and Pamela Staryek. Remember, for just $1 a month, you get these episodes a whole week early. And I do have social media. If you want to just follow the show, if you don't have money to contribute, just share it. Tell all your friends. I get it. Or you can become a free member on the Patreon and get a few more news updates than what goes over my social media. But on my social media, you can find me at TRAEGORN on Tumblr, which is my main place to be. I am technically on Twitter. I'm also on TikTok. I've been posting this week at TRAEGORN. If you want to follow me on Facebook, it is facebook.com/BSFreeWitchcraft. Do not try to friend my personal account. That's where I talk to my mom. And we are part of the Nerd and Tie podcast network. There are many other shows like Casual Trek, which updates every fortnight, where Miles and Charlie talk about Star Trek episodes. It's fun. You should listen to that at nerdandtie.com/trek. There's links to all the subscription links there. So that's my plug for another show on the network. And I've got to go. So thanks, Magickens. I'll talk to you guys next month. Remember, dirt in our fingernails, brick in our hands. I gotta run.